Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, look at verse number 1. And we're going to read these just a few verses. We usually don't do this, but today we're going to do it. Look at verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Father, bless this morning. Lord, bless the time at hand, the preaching of the word of God. And Lord, we thank you and we love you. Bless how we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to read it one more time. Notice here, God is going to speak to Jeremiah. And he says, "Jeremiah, I've got something that I want you to learn, that I want you to get." The word of the, notice verse 1, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying," notice what God tells him. He tells Jeremiah, "Arise and go down to the potter's house. And there, notice, I will cause you to hear my words." I've got some words for you. I got a message for you. I got something that you need to understand. But here's where I want you to get it. I want you to get it at the potter's house. Look at verse number 3. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." He got to the potter's house, and that potter was sitting down, and he had a wheel before him. And he was molding some clay, and he was working on it. The Bible says he wrought a work on the wheels. As the wheels spinned, he was working on the clay. Verse number 4. Notice, "In the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." Something went wrong, or something happened there to the vessel, and maybe found an imperfection there or something, but notice it was marred in the hands of the potter. So notice, "he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." He did with that vessel what he wanted to. Verse number 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," verse number 6, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, question mark, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." What a great passage we have here. And again, God was giving Jeremiah a specific truth, a lesson here, words here. And God said, "Jeremiah, I want to show you something. I want to show you some things." But he didn't just want to show him right there. No, he sent him to the potter's house. "You get to the potter's house. I want to show you some things." And he got there, and the potter was working on a vessel, and he was on a vessel of clay, and he was molding and making it, and so forth. And several things about this passage that I'm going to give you this morning. Number one, look at verse number 3. Notice, "Then I went down to the potter's house." And one of the first things, notice he went down to the potter's house. This is where the potter worked. This is where he spent most of his time, and most of his tools were there at his house. And this is where he did his best work. And no doubt that's where he made the works there. That doesn't mean that he didn't work outside the house. I'm sure he probably did. But most of his work was right there in his house, and that's where he worked. Secondly, notice I want you to see that there's a there in the house. I noticed while he was in the house, the Bible says that he wrought a work on the wheels. That means that that while he was there, he worked on the clay, and he sweated, he worked hard, he calloused his hands, no doubt, and you know, you could tell by his hands, and he worked on the wheels, and there was not a lot of playtime, and not, he worked. This was serious business to him, and this was his calling, and his work was to make vessels. Vessels to carry water, maybe vessels to carry juice or food or maybe ointment. No matter what it was used for, it needed to be good. There couldn't be any cracks in it. And it had to be a little bit appealing to the eye, maybe a vase, maybe something durable. Maybe it didn't have to be perfect, but he wanted it as perfect as possible. And obviously, if he was going to sell it, it needed to be appealing. So we see here that that he went down to the potter's house, and when he got to the potter's house, he saw the potter working on a vessel. And here's what I want you to notice. That vessel, notice what the vessel was made of. It was made of clay. And it wasn't porcelain, it wasn't wood, it wasn't gold or silver, it was made of clay, it was made of mire, of dirt, dust, air, and maybe with a little bit of water. And he took that clay and he spotted on the wheel and or on the rock there, and he was molding that clay and trying to make that clay. And the mire and the clay was not much. But boy, you put a little water in it and you mix it up and you have a little mound of clay and you put a little force on it and maybe on a wheel or maybe by forming it with the hands and you add more water to it and you put pressure on it and so forth. And guess what? A vessel begins to form. I'm not a potter, but when I was a kid, I'd like to play with Play-Doh and you apply pressure, but you got to be careful because the more pressure you apply, it can break. But once you apply it, that clay begins to take form. And notice that the vessel in verse number 4 that he was working on, notice that he was at his house and it was in the potter's house and it was a vessel made of clay. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible tells us that it was marred, that it was marred. There was something wrong with it. There was an imperfection to it, and something was there that was not supposed to be there. And so the vessel was marred, and it was in the potter's house, and it was in the potter's hand, but it still was marred. And perhaps maybe it began to decay. Maybe it began to flip over or fall or ruin, and no doubt there was something wrong with it. Maybe a little bit piece broken or cracked or falling apart. He was going to take care of this imperfection that it had on there. So notice that that marred vessel, that it was in the hands of the potter, in the potter's house, at the disposal of the potter, in his hands, and this vessel was completely surrounded by the potter's hand. And you realize that this vessel was marred, imperfect, defected somehow, and probably wasn't worth much because it was marred. It was an imperfection there, and no one would pay much. Maybe it would be the last one that would be left on the wall, or no one cared about it, or no one loved it like it ought to be because it's got some imperfection on it. Maybe they would laugh this vessel, or maybe they would because it was deformed or decaying. They wouldn't pay a dime for it. Do you realize that the best place for this vessel to be was right there where it was? Right there in the potter's house, at the potter's table, with the potter's hands around it, and the best place for that vessel was right there where it was. And rich folks didn't want him, poor folks wouldn't want to pay for him, and the other precious vessels that were there looked down on him, but the best place for that vessel was right there at the potter's hand. You see, the potter could do something with it. The potter could fix it. The potter could help it. The potter could remake that vessel and remold that vessel. The potter could take away that imperfection of it and take away that fault or that defect that it had. The only place that vessel could be helped, the only one willing to help that vessel was the potter. You see, the potter to the clay is like the doctor to the patient. The potter to the clay is like the teacher to the student, or the chiropractor to the hurting back, or glasses to the eyes, and no one else could cared for it, but the potter could help it. And boy, if he could see what could become of that marred vessel. Yes, it was imperfect. Yes, it had defect. Yes, it had problems. It was an imperfect vessel, broken vessel maybe. But he could see what that vessel could become with just a little bit of more clay, or maybe just a little bit more water, maybe just a little bit more pressure. So we see the potter in his house working a work on the wheels, on the vessel that was made of clay that was marred, but in the potter's hand. And the Bible says in verse 4 that he made it again. He made it again. He remade it. He returned and made that vessel again. He didn't throw the clay away. He didn't start from scratch and get new clay. No, he remade it and started it again. And it says another vessel. He made a mound of it. And sometimes he had to make a mound of it. In some cases, he had to work on the outside. Some cases he had to work on the surface and smooth it out, or the shape. But he worked on it again and made a new vessel. But never did he throw the clay away. Sometimes he reworked the clay and maybe put a little bit more mire on it, or maybe a little bit more water, or maybe both. Sometimes he made it again and again and again, and he worked on it again and he worked on it again and again until it was just right, until he got what he wanted. He knows exactly what the vessel needed. If not, he would try again and again and again. Now here's the last part of it. The Bible says that he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Look at verse number 4. And the vessel, notice, that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You see, it was the potter that was working on that vessel. And whatever it needed, that potter knew what to give it. And he made it as seemed good to the potter to make it. It perhaps needed a little bit of this or a little bit of that. You know, so, kind of like you ladies when you cook. And I asked Margie, and she's not here this morning, but I asked Margie, I would like that spaghetti recipe, or spaghetti sauce recipe. Remember, we used to have spaghetti dinners here at the church, and she would make the spaghetti. She would make the spaghetti sauce, and boy, I love that sauce. I said, Margie, can I get the recipe to make that spaghetti sauce? She was the author of that spaghetti sauce, and she said, Preacher, I can't give it to you. I said, well, why not, Margie? Well, because I put a little bit of this, and then I put a little bit of that, and then I put a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and I don't know all that goes in it. Well, I guess the potter is just like that. He put a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of water, a little bit of clay, a little bit of mire, more pressure on her, maybe a lot of pressure here, and he made it as it seemed good to the potter to make it. The potter knows. He's the potter. He's the creator of that vessel. He made that vessel. He knows exactly what that vessel needs. He knows how much pressure he can apply on that vessel. He knows how much perfection he can get out of it. And it's not like the vessel wants it, but he made it as he thought proper. He made it as it seemed good to the potter, not as it seemed good to the vessel. And if we could bring that vessel to life, and we could talk to that vessel, and that vessel would spin around, and he would be dizzy, and maybe that's so he wouldn't know what was coming upon him. But that vessel, when the hands of the potter would become to come on it, that vessel no doubt would stiffen, and it would cringe, and when the potter would reach down and put his hands on it, I don't doubt that vessel would cry out. When the potter applied pressure to it, boy, that vessel no doubt had to be sweating and had to be crying and had to be, ouch, oh, that hurts, and oh, the pain. But the potter knew exactly what that vessel needed. And the potter knew exactly how much that vessel could handle it. And once that wheel would come to a stop, and all of a sudden you'd hear that vessel give just a sigh of relief and saying, boy, I'm glad that's over. Boy, I'm glad it's over. Boy, it's hurt, the pain and the trouble and the pressure. And I thought he was going to break me. I thought it's, boy, I'm so glad it's over. It's finally done. The potter says that wasn't so bad. And all of a sudden that vessel would start feeling pretty good, thinking that it was over. And all of a sudden the potter looks down and says, wait a minute, wait, whoa, wait. I missed the spot here. There's a little imperfection here, and I want to see if I can take that out. I want to see if I can clear that. And all of a sudden, that wheel would begin to spin, or that vessel would be put on the rock again, and the vessel would cry out again. Oh, not again. Not again. The Bible says the potter made it again as seemed good to the potter. The potter would apply that pressure again, and the potter would apply that which needed again, and he made it again and again and again and again. And sometimes he would have to take that vessel, and sometimes he would just have to squash it. Squash it down and start all over. And the vessel would say, oh, no, not from start. And he would begin to mold that vessel again, begin to mold it and begin to put pressure on it again and so forth. And after all, it was all said and done, that vessel would realize that what the potter had made with him. The vessel would say, you know, I'm glad that the potter did what he had to do and he did what he thought was right to make me what I need to be. Look at verse number 6 in Jeremiah 18. Notice, after Jeremiah learns this lesson, after God speaks to him and gives him this, that what he was seeing at the potter's house, and the clay that was made of, the vessel that was made of clay in the potter's hand, seeing that it was marred and seeing that the potter would make it over and over again and make another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then all of a sudden God speaks to him in verse 6, and he says this, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Notice God says, can I do with you the same as what this potter is doing with the vessel? He said, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Boy, and I thought about that, and you know what? Isn't that the honest to goodness truth? God was saying, The same way that that potter is working on that vessel, it's the same way that I can work on the house of Israel. And I thought several things that I'm going to give to you will be gone. Number one, we need to understand that God is the potter and I am the clay. Don't forget that. Don't misunderstand it. Don't get it turned around. You know, some people say, "Well, no. I'm the God says, "Let us make man in our image," and we say, "Hey, let us make God in our image." And boy, we've got to be so careful about that. But hey, we are the clay in God's hands. We are the vessel in God's hand. And here's the second thing we need to understand: He wants to work on you. He wants to do a work on you. He is the potter. I am the clay. Guess He wants to work on you. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. We read Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. God is working on us, and he knoweth our frame. He remembereth our frame. Why? He put us together. He continues to put us together. We need to understand that in the big picture of things, guess what? God is the potter and we're the clay. And we need to understand that God wants to work and wants to bring a good work in us. Thirdly, I want you to understand that it is at the potter's house where he'll do most of the work. Did you get that? It is at the potter's house where he'll do most of the work. That's right here in church. Now, he can work outside, but you know what? He likes to work right in here. He's got tools in here. He's got a preacher here. He's got a Bible here. He's got preaching. He's got songs, specials. He's got the Spirit in here. He won't work at home while you watch TV. He won't work at the park. He won't work at the bars. But you know what? He'll work right here in church. This is his house, and this is the house of God, and he is the potter. We are the clay, and he wants to do a work on us, and he wants to do a work on us in his house. Number four, realize what we're made of. We're made of clay. We're made of miry clay. The Bible says he lifted me up. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think too lowly of others. You know, man, we ought to have mercy on others. We've been for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we spent times on defining Pharisee from the scriptures and showing what Pharisees are, because I think we have gotten to the point that we master the Pharisees, and we're a bunch of Pharisees, and boy, we've got to come back to reality. Realize that we're made of clay, and not only that, not only are we clay, but we're marred clay. Did you get that? We're marred clay. Some are more marred than others. That means that we're flawed. That means that we have imperfections, that we have inclusions, and that means that we're broken, or we're defected, and we got defects, and we're decaying. We're not perfect. And of course, you can't go too far in the Bible before realizing that. In Romans 3:10, the Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That means that nobody's perfect. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're marred vessels. We're imperfect vessels. And do you know where the best place for vessels of clay that are marred, you know where the best place for them to be? At the potter's house and in the potter's hands. And you know that's God's house and that's God's hand. And you know, some people say, I don't go to church because of hypocrites. I heard that for years. And you know what? I'm beginning to understand that. And you know what? They're making a lot of sense. But you know what? It's still the perfect place to get help from the potter, in the potter's house, in the potter's hands. And we sing the song, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. And that's the honest and goodness truth. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. You know, it ought not to surprise us, you know. But if you're marred today, guess what? Get to the potter's house. Get in the potter's hands and God's hands, God's house. If you're broken today, if you're sick, or if you've got some imperfection, or if you stumbled and you've fallen, or maybe you're in sin, or maybe you're heartbroken and your dreams have shattered, or you're hurt or crushed, I'll tell you where the best place to be, right where you're at. The potter's house, in the potter's hands. So no better place to be. The world doesn't want you sometimes. The world doesn't care for you. You don't fit in, and you've got some imperfections. You're not perfect, and you're in the perfect place, the potter's house, in the potter's hand, for him to do a work on you. Realize this. Realize that God makes you as it seemed good to make you, to him. He makes us as seem good to the potter to make it. So that means, you know, we want to become this, but God says, no, I want you to become this. Well, no, I want to be this. And God says, you know what? No, I've got a different idea for you. This is what I want you to be. And it's not what you think you need. It's what he thinks you need. So when God works on us, when we go to the potter's house and we go into the potter's hands and he works on us, he's not working to make you like you think you ought to be. He's working to make you like he thinks you ought to be. That's a tough work. It's not like you want it. It's like he wanted. It's not like it to your taste, but to his taste. And realize that it may hurt, and realize that it may sting, and realize that it may be put pressure on you and pain on you. It's hard and it's difficult. The pain, the pressure, the mess. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've seen the potter working on a vessel of clay, but I mean, he gets dirty. And you see the mess, the frustration, the struggles, the resistance. When that potter put his hand on the clay, and boy, that clay is fighting him. And you know, and sometimes we do too, and we ought to yield to him. He wants us to be made in his image, and to be holy and godly, and be full of agape love, unconditional love, to be faithful, to have all the attributes that God has and God is. And he wants us to be just like that, to be Christ-like. So he makes us as seem good to him to make us. But here's the last thing and the greatest thing. The greatest thing is this, that he never throws the clay away. Notice, the Bible says that he makes it again another vessel. Same clay, another vessel. If he were to throw the clay away, he'd have to throw all of us away. There'd be not one of us that would be able to sit in here. But he doesn't throw the clay away. He makes it again another vessel. And what it is he'll try to fix you. He'll try to mend you. He'll try to put you back together and patch you up and mold you and make you like you are, what you ought to be. Not according to your eyes, but according to his eyes. But if that doesn't work, guess what? He'll take you and maybe he'll have to crush you all the way down to just a lump of clay again and start all over. And start all over. But he'll not throw the clay away. Now I'm going to tell you, it'll hurt, and you'll cry, and sometimes it'll be devastating. But when he is done, you'll be glad that you went to the potter's house, and you'll be glad that you allowed yourself to be put in the potter's hand, and you'll be glad that the potter reached down, and in that imperfection, and in that marred vessel that you are, you'll be glad when he puts his hands on you and puts pressure on you and applies pressure, and it hurts, and it's painful, and it's a mess, but you'll be glad that God brought a work on you and brought a work on you just like he says. Some perhaps are more marred than others. And if you are, then you know what? You better thank God, because God can help you and God can fix you. We're all a bunch of clay, every single one of us. But we're in the right place. We're in the potter's house. And we're in the hands of the potter, and he can bring a good work on us. I'm going to give you some closing statements and I'll be done. Number one, wouldn't it be great if we decided to make this the potter's house? Wouldn't it be great if we decided to make the potter's house, our home, God's home? This is the potter's house and the house of God. Be faithful to the potter's house. Be faithful to come into the potter's house, to serve in the potter's house. You know, all I want to do is just be a tool. All I want to do is, I don't know, when I was in school, I did woodworking shop, and I remember working on the lathe and with the tools, with the boy, I loved it. I loved it, and that's all I want to be. I just want to be a tool that God can use, a tool that God can use to help vessels become what they need to be. And wouldn't it be great if we decided to make the potter's house our house, and to make this house, Church of God, our house? Secondly, wouldn't it be great if we yielded to the potter's hand? Wouldn't it be great if we just yielded to and allowed God to work on us, allowed God to put his hands on us and mold us and make us. Now, yes, it's going to hurt, and yes, it's going to be painful, and yes, it's going to be a struggle. But boy, when it's all said and done, it's going to be a wonderful thing. Wouldn't it be great if we just yielded to the potter's hand? Wouldn't it be great if to piece back together all the broken pieces and the men broken hearts and to put lines or lives back together again? Wouldn't it be great if God could use us to put lives back together again? That'd be a great thing. It's called brotherly kindness. It's called loving one another. It's called charity. You know, there's broken vessels out there and all over, and they're marred vessels and with imperfections and hurting and broken vessels. And man, if you're a broken vessel, you come to the right place, and because this is the house of God, this is the potter's house, and God can bring a work on you. But you need to decide to allow him to work on you. It's hurtful, it's painful, but when it's all said and done, you'll be glad. Those that have imperfections, all of us, we need to come to the potter's house, because that's there at the potter's house is where the potter will bring a good work on the vessel. We need to realize that we're all made of clay. We need to realize that by coming to the potter's house and putting ourselves in the potter's hands, that's the best place that we could be. That's the best place we could be. And he'll make something good of us. Not as we would see it and not as we would look at it, but as he would look at it. And the greatest thing of all, that you know what? That if we do get imperfections, that if we do have faults, we do have problems, he makes it again and again and again, and he never throws the clay away. That's a great thing. So this morning, welcome to the potter's house. And just this morning, allow God to work on you. Allow God to do a work on you. Is it going to be great? Is it going to be the cheerleading team? Is it going to be joyful? No, not necessarily. But it'll be something that we all need for the potter to work on the vessel made of clay. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, you've never received Christ, in Sunday school we mentioned, boy, it is obvious that we've got the outside down in our, it's obvious that we know how to dress and we know how to talk and we know how to carry our Bibles. And it's time that we work on the inside. And how do we work on the inside? The greatest way to work on the inside is by being born again, by receiving the Holy Spirit, and by trusting Christ, accepting what he did. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, if you're here this morning and you've never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would like to start one this morning, you would like the potter to put his hands on you and mold you and make you to what you ought to be, you come this morning. Sit right here in the front pew, and someone will take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that he's working on you. And by the way, he'll give you eternal life. That's a byproduct. That's a heaven. That's a wonderful thing. To be born again, to live forever and ever and ever. You come this morning, you sit right here in the front pew, and someone will take the Bible and show you from the Bible. And then Christians, allow the potter to do a work on you. Unless you're perfect. Is there anybody here that is a finished product, that is perfect, and you like yourself exactly the way you are, you don't want to change anything? Anyone like that? Anyone like that? I didn't think so. If you think you're perfect, come to me and I'll help you. Point out some of the infirmities in your life. We're easy to point out infirmities in other people's life, but it's so hard to point out infirmities in your own life. But the potter's on it. He knows what it is. He's got his eye on it. And if you allow him, and if you come to the potter's house, he'll bring a good work on you. If you allow him to put his hands on you, he'll work and make you what you ought to be. Father, I pray that you bless this morning. Lord, help us to realize that no better place to be than in the potter's house. No better place to be than in the hands of the potter. Lord, we may be marred, we may be broken, we may be imperfect. But Lord, you are here to make a good work, to bring a good work on us. And to make us not like we want to be made, but to make us like you want us to be made. To make us according to your specifications, according to your design, according to your description. As exactly how you want us. So please help this morning. Help us to realize that we're in a good place where you can bring a good work. Allow us, Lord, help us to submit to you and allow you to work on us. And then, Lord, if there are some here that have never received you, never trusted you as a personal Savior, Lord, may they come to that decision this morning. May they realize that they need the hands of the potter, and they need the house of the potter, and they need the potter to do a great work on them. So please bless work and invitation.